Wherever you are from, in time and space, welcome. You are listening to the Sovereign Envoys Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sovereign Envoys. Today I'm going to do more testing with some of the features that Anchor has given me. Now that I'm able to record on my phone, I'm actually recording this sitting in the parking lot in my car of Co-op. And I just came out to buy a sandwich and some pickled eggs and some supplies to do some homemade pickled eggs. Okay. I was like, oh, I have no pickled eggs left. I just ate my last one the other day. There's a really great brand of pickled egg. They have a bunch of different flavors. It's called Nanjo, I think. Nanjo. And you know what? I don't have time to wait for my eggs to pickle. I haven't even boiled them yet. So I was like, I got a hankering, so I'm going to go out and buy some pickled eggs. And then I went and I grabbed some dill and some more garlic and things like that. So basically this podcast is just going to be about me testing my ability to make blocks of audio wherever I am, so that the point of this will be so if I have an idea or something, I can just record a block of audio and then I'm going to go on my computer and I can see if I can fuse a few different blocks of audio. Like I'm not going to be driving around recording because that's a bad idea. But what I will do is when I get home, I'll probably record a few other blocks, and if I have any interesting ideas, I'll throw that in there. So this episode is about that. And mostly I don't have that many listeners, so you're mostly just hearing me learn. This is a learning experience for me, and you're welcome to tag along. I don't really feel like I have to put on an exceptional show right now because I am in the very bare bones beginning of it, but I am enjoying it. And if you're enjoying the ride, then I'm happy to have you along. I'll be back in a bit. Well, you probably won't perceive a bit. You'll probably just hear me continuing on as if nothing happened, but I'm going to go drive home now. I'll talk to you in a bit as it is perceived by me. Cheers. All right, now I'm back home, and I started realizing how much I actually talk to myself when I'm thinking about ideas to talk about, but how often I don't record those. So I was walking around my kitchen thinking about the pickled eggs, and I decided that I might as well tell you guys how to make pickled eggs. Because, that's science. It's chemistry. And I guess it's philosophy, too, because in the act of creation is... well, that's art. And if you ask any cook, they're basically artistic scientists or whatever. Just let me have this one. So I'm going to continue by going on about what I'm going to do in order to make pickled eggs and what you should avoid if you've never made pickled eggs before. So first of all, I have some brine sitting in the fridge that I've used, and I would suggest trying brines that have been made for other things like pickles or whatever first, because you can reuse brines. Eggs, boiled eggs, seem to be the tofu of the dairy world. They'll just soak up anything you put them in. And That being said, if you have a brine that's a pickled egg brine that's been sitting, it has to sit for like a little while. 3 days was not enough. You can technically have a pickled egg after 3 days, but it's going to taste like straight up vinegar because the main ingredient is white vinegar. Now, I've been trying to play around with that and tried other vinegars, but at the end of the day, white vinegar is your go-to thing. And the reason why you don't want to eat a pickled egg too soon is not because the pickled egg is absorbing the vinegar too fast. I mean, if you have used brine and the pickled egg absorbs that brine will probably be fine in 3 days. The problem is that it will taste straight up like white vinegar, and you don't want that because you're going to add garlic, dill, peppercorns, pickling spice, whatever you want. It doesn't have to be complicated, but you're going to add a few more things that are going to make it not taste like straight up vinegar, which is actually way too sour, even for me. And I love pickled eggs. Like, I went through 30 in 2 weeks. So how do you make a brine? The simplest way I can explain it to you is you take, and these are necessities. You take the white vinegar, you take, it depends on how much, but if you're going to use a regular mason jar, wide mouth mason jar, you take, fill that with white vinegar. So I would start with 2 cups because you're going to put pickled eggs in there after, probably. So you don't want to like start putting the pickled eggs in after and then find that you have too much brine. So just 2 cups is probably more than enough. And then you want to chop up. The bare minimum is you need salt and sugar. So 2 tablespoons of salt to 1 mason jar of vinegar, and preferably kosher salt because it dissolves better. I'm sure you can use other salt if you're in a pinch. That sounds like it was supposed to be a pun, but it didn't even come close. If you're in a pinch, you could probably use other salt. I personally can't stand table salt for anything, so I don't even have it in my house. But I have other salts. I have like black lava salt, Himalayan salt. If you ever get the chance, truffle salt. Oh my God. It's really expensive. It's like 4 or 5 times the price of normal salt, but it's amazing. Actually, it's probably more than that. It's like $30 for like a salt shaker worth. And then 2 tablespoons of kosher salt, and don't forget to put in 1 teaspoon of sugar. I just use regular white sugar. Without that sugar, your vinegar is going to taste a lot more like vinegar than you intend, and that's not fun for anyone. As much as you might like pickled eggs, and I'll be the first to say I love pickled eggs more than almost anyone I know, but if you don't put that sugar in, I would even err on the side of caution and put 2 teaspoons in instead of 1. A regular recipe calls for just 1. If you're not a big sour fan, but you still like pickled eggs, 2 tablespoons will probably be awesome. Teaspoons, not tablespoons. So once you have 2 tablespoons, 1 teaspoon of salt and sugar, and the rest of the vinegar, you can start chopping up your garlic and put dill in there. Sometimes you can buy pickling spice that's pre-mixed. You don't have to. I mean, you could just take a look at it and see what's in there. I found something that wasn't a part of pickling spice that when I added it kind of gave it a little bit of an interesting twist to the flavor, and that was celery seeds. So this is the part where it's more of like an art where you just kind of figure out the flavors as you go. Now, that Nanjo brand that I was telling you about, they kind of sparked my interest because they have like 12 different flavors or 24 different flavors. But my store that I get them from, they only sold 4 different flavors. of the 12 or 24 or whatever it was. And now they only sell three because the best flavor was the spicy flavor. And I was going to look on the back because they list all the ingredients and you could basically do the same thing if you had the ingredients. But it was basically like banana peppers and, you know, those pickled banana peppers, the ones that are all cut. It's basically that kind of brine. But they added some other stuff to it. Not too much other stuff, but it's like basically if you threw an egg in that banana, that pickled banana peppers mix, and then it would give that flavor to the egg. So that's what I mean. Like if you have anything else that's pickled and say you're almost done all the banana peppers, or you have pickled, I don't know what else they pickle right now off the top of my head that doesn't taste like just pickles, but that spicy banana pepper mix would be a good first try. Just boil some eggs, and if you're getting low on the spices in there, you reuse the brine. Just throw some in there. It'll taste fantastic in a you know, a week or two, or if you, it'll even give it a slight tinge of the taste even after 3 days, so you don't have to let it soak. But the way Nanjo did it, it even changed the texture of the eggs, and it was really good. It made it like harder and rubberier, and I don't know how to explain it, but they're fantastic. Like those are the kinds of savory pickled eggs you can sit down and you can like, I can't just throw them in my mouth like I can other flavors. Those flavors are like, it's like a it's like an experience. And it's almost too spicy to do that anyways, but if you just chop it up and do a little bit at a time, they're definitely doable. I can only eat really two at a time, those ones, not at once, but like in one sitting anyways. So I guess I'll chop this here and then I'll just go over. I think I might actually throw some eggs in the slow cooker and see how, I've never tried that method of cooking them. So there's a special way to peel the eggs so that you can peel them faster and with less shell getting into your egg and messing it up. So I'm going to try this method and then I'll go over the secret method of how you peel an egg in a few seconds instead of picking at it and then destroying it most of the time, because there is a method. Anyways, I'll talk to you guys in a bit. I don't know when I'm going to do that, but to you it'll seem like no time at all has passed. Thanks for listening so far. Anyways, I know I can drone on a bit, but meh. You're here because you love me, right? Cheers. Okay, so I boiled the eggs, and I had some Nanjo's pickled eggs while I was waiting for them to boil. And unfortunately, while I was boiling them in the Instapot, I realized after a few minutes, 10 minutes or so, that the seal wasn't going on properly, so it wasn't making a seal when I did the pressure cook. But I had to do it again for another 10 minutes, so I don't think they're overcooked, but it took me a little longer than I expected. I was reading the label of Nanjo pickled eggs while I was waiting and doing my stuff, and it turns out they're actually made in Saskatchewan. And if you are curious, just, I don't know if there's a website, but if you look up Nanjo's, N-A-N-J-O apostrophe S, you can look up them. I'm eating the bangers and kraut, which is gourmet pickled cackleberries. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. It's pickled eggs, but it's actually this flavor is a lot more mild than the spicy one. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, it almost doesn't even taste like a pickled egg in the traditional sense, but it's actually in sauerkraut and sausage. So it's pickled sausage and sauerkraut. So you end, if you like sauerkraut, you just end up eating all of it. It's not really like traditional brine. So yeah, check out that flavor. Check out Nanjo's if you can get your hands on some. I highly recommend them. So this is my third time making pickled eggs, I think. And I was going to tell you how I cracked the eggs. So I didn't realize this until I started making boiled eggs en masse, and it was really a pain in the ass to peel them all the time. But if you take ice water and you crack the eggs and then drop them in the water after you've boiled them, you will shock it and it will suck a little bit of water in between the shell and stuff, and then you just take like a cutting board or something, even your counter I guess, and then you can pop it on either end, like the pointy end and the dull end. So you pop it on the top, the bottom, and then crack one end and then roll it, and you'll crack it all the way around, and you can like literally pull the ends off, but make sure you leave it in the cold water a little bit, otherwise you might pull the egg in half. But once you get good at this, you can peel, like I just peeled 15 eggs in like 5 minutes, so, and that's slow. So I know there's people out there that can do one every 10 seconds. I just thought I'd share that little trick with you. If you did decide on making pickled eggs, it would make your life a lot more easy. So now to the canning process. You don't have to boil it. I didn't last time. But if you have the mason jars and you have the brine and you have it all set up, because I just added a little bit of extra onion, but these were white pearl onions, which are about the size of like slightly smaller than a ping pong ball. So I wanted to try those because quartering a whole onion kind of left something to be desired. So I wanted something a little bit sweeter. Anytime I can put sweetness in it without having to add actual sugar, I'll try that. So I'm still experimenting. And I didn't put any more garlic in. I did buy a handful of dill, and I put some in each jar. I'm making 3 jars right now. I didn't realize I don't have any white vinegar left over, and I had to refill a little bit of the jar with more vinegar, but I didn't have any, so I think I'm just gonna boil these. I topped it up with a little bit of salt, a little bit of sugar, so keeping that in mind, make sure that you can, I guess you can't just use brine. I was gonna say just reuse the brine, but you won't be able to submerge all the eggs unless you turn the jars upside down in the fridge, which may or may not, depending on the lid, make a mess. So I think I'm gonna chance putting them upside down, but ideally I would like to have refilled it with vinegar to top it off. And I did top it off with a little bit of salt and sugar, so I don't know if that's going to screw things up or what. But anyways, so right now these jars with the brine in them and the eggs in them are sitting in a pot of water that is going to boil soon. And I'm just going to do that to create a negative pressure system and suck the lids down into the egg when after it's done boiling. So it's just a process so that I can can it and see if I can draw out and suck the flavor into the eggs faster. I don't know. I mean, it works if you don't boil it, but I have a hunch that boiling it and then closing it will make it work better. Anyways, I was going to muse about some things while I was waiting for them to boil, but I feel like this episode's getting a little too long. But what I was musing about was I was thinking about mentioning about what do you think aliens eat? And the only thing I could think of that would come to mind readily was this one episode of Stargate SG-1, where Thor, the alien, the little gray alien, he was there was one episode where he was eating something, or he had offered food to one of the SG-1 members in his ship because she was there for like a week or something, or she was there for a long time and she hadn't eaten. He's like, would you like some nourishment? And he came out with these like things that look like computer chips or like little pieces of plastic or something, and like one was a triangle and there was like a red one and a yellow one and a blue one or something, and he's like, they didn't look like regular food, it just looked like something made out of plastic. And he's like, I like the yellow ones. It looked like it was made out of sulfur. So kind of made me wonder with the anatomy that we get when we're told what people have apparently purportedly seen, these tiny little mouths. I'm like, well, they're probably got no teeth left, or what do they chew, or what do they eat? I mean, I'm just kind of rambling because I'm trying to fill time and stuff. I don't actually really think one way or the other about what they eat. I don't even know if it's aliens, but anyways, it's probably enough rambling for me. I hope you enjoy my pickled egg episode. That's pretty much all it is. It's nothing interesting. Tomorrow I'm hoping to get together with one of the Discord members, and he seems to want to have a chat about a few different subjects. UFO cults, the whole religion aspect of things. How do you think these cults get started? What's the deal with that? And it should be interesting. Because, yeah, obviously ufology has become almost like a religion. Nobody has any proof of anything, and people say they see shit, but, you know. And everybody, like, if you really think about it, it seems like something could probably be going on, and what are the odds that we're alone is very slim. But, I mean, there's too many unknowns. Like, people have seen things, but we just don't know. And anybody that goes around and they start talking about how they know things and know this, and 90% of the time they're talking about something that they heard from someone else as if it's fact. And I don't know. I just don't trust anyone when they say they've seen things. If they say it too many times, it just seems like the people that actually see something, they see something for like a minute or two or a couple of seconds, and they're just like, I seen something, I don't know what it is, I'm confused, whatever, I don't know. But then there's these people that just go on and on about all these things they think they know or think that they're seeing on an ongoing basis, and have these big elaborate stories, and those are the ones that seem like they're full of shit because they have huge stories. I don't know. What do you think? Seems like the guys that are telling the truth are the guys that don't know the truth, and the guys that claim that they know the truth don't know the truth. So really, I don't think anybody knows what's going on. Then again, there's always the fact that I saw that helicopter after I saw that UFO a few days later, so somebody has to know what's going on. But I don't think that they're in the business of talking. You know, Men in Black stuff. So I really don't think that the people that know are going to say anything. It's not, I don't think it's some fucking guy in his backyard taking videos of stuff, poltergeists somewhere on a ranch, something. I really, really highly doubt that is anything to do with, I don't know. I don't buy it. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed listening to me ramble. This wasn't a super serious episode. And just trying to see if it's possible to record an episode on my phone in chunks all over the place, because why not? So thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next time. Cheers. Bye.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the show. If you would like to get involved in the same online communities as TSE, consider visiting the subreddit r/UFO, moderated by Kiwi Bonga, and his parallel Discord server by the same name, r/UFO. If you like the show and would like to support me, here's a few ways to do that. 1. Listen to the show. 2. Share my show with others you think might like it. And 3. If you would like to become a supporter by donating, you can now do that by going to anchor.fm/sovereignenvoy and clicking the support button, where you will be asked if you would like to make a monthly contribution of either $1, $5, or $10. If you would like to be a guest on the show, have a story, or just want to send me a message you'd like me to play on the show, you can go to anchor.fm/sovereignenvoy and click the message button. If you would rather write me, I can be reached at thesovereignenvoys with an S at gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. Cheers!